Prepare to Pivot is a series of conversations with Dr. Andrew Barnes, Dean of the School of the Arts, Communications, and Global Studies at York College of Pennsylvania. Dean Barnes talks with leaders in the college, YCP alums, and members of the York community about the importance of the liberal arts in preparing students to build careers where essential skills like critical and creative thinking, effective communications, and analytical reasoning make all the difference. And now, here's Dean Barnes.
Hello, welcome back. This is Andy Barnes, the Dean of the School of the Arts, Communication, and Global Studies here at York College. And I'm back here talking with Brian Hazlett, the Vice President of Enrollment and Management. In the last two podcasts, Brian, we've talked about the importance of liberal arts to STEM degrees. And we've talked about sort of the history of the concept of liberal arts or humanities. Today, I wanted to talk to you about those students who actually want to major in liberal arts. You and I both have liberal arts degrees. You have a degree in history. I have a PhD in English literature. So we come from these from these backgrounds. And when I go to open houses here, I obviously have students that come for a liberal arts degree. So I wanted to talk about what a student can expect when they come here for a liberal arts degree and or humanities degree. And we have a number of them in my school. We have degrees like mass communications, poli-sci, political science, history, philosophy, English, the kind of sort of traditional ones. But we're also a school of arts, so we have graphic design, film and media, and a music degree, and it's music production. We also have music performance as well. And we have some other sort of liberal arts, but those are the most important ones. Let me ask you first, why did you get a degree in history?
Yeah, well, it's a great question. That you know, when I think back, you know, one of the things that I was looking at, I was looking to want to be a teacher. I think you know, it was something that was of interest to me. But then I got into the history field and really started to just love the ability to learn to do research around different topics that were that were coming up at that time. I had a direct interest in the history around like World War II was an area that was of interest to me. But then ultimately, as I got deeper into the program, it was really the sense of it was really teaching me how to write well. And we talked a little bit about that earlier, is that it really taught me how to effectively write, which I thought I did. I thought I knew how to write well. After I got my first, paper back from my one professor, I learned very quickly I didn't know how to write as well as I thought. But for me, it was that opportunity to develop that skill. And then as I took other courses within the liberal arts, in particular, there was one class that I took in philosophy that I really, to be honest with you, struggled with my parents having an understanding of why I was taking this philosophy course with this professor, Dr. Menta. And he that course was transformational for me. It was actually a course that was I view my undergraduate degree was kind of a tipping point for me that really created a ability to me to start to question some of the things that I was learning or start to question why I was doing, even personally doing some of the things I was doing. And it really allowed me to start to kind of, dissect dissect an issue and then really start to think about how to kind of rebuild it back. So that's, you really picked that. I was, I had changed my mind a few times in my undergraduate degree, but really honed in on that, that sense of that passion around history. And I also found that the faculty within the history department were just, you could just go in and have literally an hour conversation with them and you could just, you'd walk away with just a vast amount of knowledge just sitting there talking to them. And I didn't have that same experience with some of the other majors that I was looking at. You know, some of the faculty were very factual, down to the point. And for me, I appreciated the sense of, what that liberal arts background and that history program was really starting to provide me.
Well, I think that's sort of key and core to any of the liberal arts majors, that you develop kind of a one-on-one relationship with your professors, because they want to talk to you about. I mean, part of liberal arts is, again, talking big ideas. It's also learning really important skills like research skills, writing skills. But we often sit down with our students to talk through ideas, because it's not a math formula. You just have to learn by rote and just do over and over and over again. It's something that it's not always black and white. So you have, like in your philosophy, you have to talk through it. We do the same thing in English literature. When you look at a text, I happen to my degrees are in Shakespeare and metaphysical poetry, like John Donne. When you look at a text, it's not readily apparent what it means, whether it doesn't matter what the text is. And so it takes some skills and some learning and talking back and forth to people to suss out, what does this mean? And where do we get this meaning from? How do we derive this meaning? All these things which are tremendously helpful if you go out in the world and have to someday look at a financial statement or some kind of data and say, okay, what does this mean? But for us liberal arts, it really is developing relationships with students, intellectual relationships with students to understand things, to understand that sort of that higher idea things. It's interesting because, you know, it can be difficult for students who are interested in the liberal arts, who are interested in history or English or political science, to convince their parents that this is a degree they should do. I think I've told you this. I've said this before. I wasn't able to convince my parents. I had to get an accounting degree, and I did. But when I was an undergraduate, I took every liberal arts I could. Mm-hmm. So I took ceramics for a while. I took lots of English literature, lots of creative writing, lots of theater. And all these things helped to sort of develop me as a person, like you were talking about, which is a lot of what liberal arts does. It helps develop us as people. Mm-hmm. This is one of the reasons we call the liberal arts humanities. Mm-hmm. It creates kind of civil discourse and humans to be out there. And I think that's part of what we lost in the current political environment, that we don't know how to talk to across the aisle.
Right.
We've lost that ability to have conversations, and we've lost that ability to debate. And I think that's because we've allowed liberal arts in the colleges to be watered down. Mm-hmm. And you can really learn how to do that, how to kind of be human and commune with people.
Yeah, I probably had the opposite effect. Yeah. In my, you know, with my relationship with my parents being a first gen student, they were it was the opposite, because they wanted me to do as much as I could to just suck it all in, really, you know, go in as much as I could. And I, you know, it probably because they didn't fully understand, you know, what a liberal arts degree was. They maybe didn't fully understand that type of coursework. But to me, they were looking at it as that it's going to better me.
Yeah.
Than what they had exposure to, you know, not having a bachelor's degree. But then ultimately, when I got out of school, they started to see how I could apply it. Even though I changed direction for my career, all the skills that I learned through my history program, I could apply to my to my work that I even do today. You know, that's something I can definitely apply today.
It's interesting. I when at open houses, I tell these two stories. They're true stories of what I call Ben the engineer and Steph the historian. They're silly, but they're true. I was recently talking to a group of business leaders here in New York, and they were talking about what they see lacking in students that graduate. Mm-hmm. And this one person who was talking about this kid, you know, who graduated with an engineering degree. He was a brilliant engineer. He was brilliant, and they hired him. He could not communicate. He could not write an email to save his life. And he could not stand up in front of clients to talk about it. And this business person said, this poor guy, he's a brilliant engineer. He will never get beyond the entry level because he can't communicate in the way you need to in order to advance up. And I thought that was really kind of sad. In the other case, I have a person, she's actually my niece, Steph. So, and she has a degree, not in history, but anthropology.
Okay.
And she graduated with anthropology. Again, one of these degrees that parents go, what the heck are you going to do with an anthropology degree? But when she graduated, she first traveled the world for a couple of years. And then she came back to my hometown, and she got a job in a construction company in, I think, accounting and billing.
Okay.
She has skyrocketed past everyone who has an accounting degree, because she can think critically and she can look at a data sheet and see beyond what the numbers say. She can look at spreadsheets and see beyond. She can look at specs and see beyond what's there. And she has skyrocketed. She's going to stay there, but she has these skills.
And she probably has the skill of being able to explain something in
That's
a
right.
way to someone that may not have a foundational understanding of a particular issue.
That's right.
But they can, as we've been talking about, pivot based on the audience to know, you know, how do I explain this to them so that they're going to understand it? And it's not just going to be the, you know, facts and figures.
And I think that's the key here is that in getting your degree, you want the sort of hard skills. You want to know what the facts and figures are. But you also want to know, figure out, how do I explain this to someone, especially like someone who's not in my field?
Right.
How am I going to explain this, or how am I going to present this to a client, or present this to my boss even? Mm-hmm. How am I going to do that? And it's those liberal arts that sort of teach you that. Mm-hmm. But there's also this question, I think, when students come here and they want to get a degree in the liberal arts, the question is, what kind of job are they going to get when they get out? And that's a good question, because unless you want to be a teacher, which is awesome, if you want to teach English or history or political science, but there are a range of jobs that those of us in the humanities or liberal arts get. In fact, there was an article recently that looked at the trajectory of someone who graduated with a computer science degree and someone who graduated an English degree. And it showed that those who graduate with an English degree start off slower as far as salary. In computer science, they start off very high. But within 5 years, those two lines cross.
Interesting.
So that the English person is earning more and the computer science is earning less, primarily because of this, and it's in specific to technology. In 5 years, what that person learned in computer science is no longer valid.
Right, right.
That technology has gone away, and that person either has to relearn, go back and get some certificate to relearn skills, or they have to pivot to somebody else. That person who has an English degree is always learning and as we described, can pivot, can analyze, can do all of that.
And it has this foundational base to be able to change on the dime. Because what they're saying now is that most of the majors that students are majoring in, the majors that are going to exist in a few years don't exist today. The careers don't exist today, I should say. So being able to have that liberal arts background is going to allow them to, you know, to transform their skill set to match what the market is speaking to at that moment. And you're right. It's not, you know, it's something that's not that they have to go back and relearn something because they already have that foundation.
Right. And if not that, they can figure out how to get the knowledge they need to get. And they're not kind of stuck with this. And I'm not, again, if you're a computer scientist, want to be a computer scientist, awesome.
Yep.
That's great.
Yep.
But just, you know, pay attention to those liberal arts because that's going to allow you to have what I often describe. The liberal arts allows you to have a career, not just a job. If you're just focused on the computer science or that you're going to have a job that like Ben the engineer, which will be an entry level full time. But I think that for students, and especially if you're a student and you want to major in the liberal arts and you have to have a conversation with your parents, how do you imagine that? I don't quite know because I wasn't successful with my parents.
No,
what
I think
is that conversation.
I think it all is going to depend on the relationship you have with your parents.
Sure.
And, you know, I think, you know, as a parent, you know, with, you know, a rising junior in high school, you know, for me, it's right now at this point, it's anything that she can latch on that she's passionate about.
Yeah.
I'm all for it. And if that's something that, if she was to come in and tell me that she has a passion within a liberal arts field, then, you know, I'm going to go all in to support her through that. But, you know, I do think that as we see, you know, the demographics of colleges are changing, especially in the Northeast, we're seeing, you know, larger numbers of students that are, you know, historically marginalized.
Yeah.
We're seeing a lot of first generation college students. And for a lot of the families, they do look at the college degree as an investment. So it is a harder conversation for some families because the family may not see that as a long-term, you know, career or long-term, you know, position. So the students, I think for us, what we can do is provide them with some of the background and some of the knowledge as they're coming in and they're meeting with us. We can show the outcomes, you know, the things that our students are currently doing. We have a lot here at your college. We have a lot of successful alums that have gone through our liberal arts programs. Mm-hmm. We should be, you know, standing on the hilltop shouting the things that they're doing, because that's the things that are going to tell a student that, look, I can go through this path and be successful. And the path may be I'm coming in through a liberal arts degree and ultimately doing something very different.
Yeah.
But that skill that I've developed through that program is what's going to carry me. So I think it's really speaking to the outcomes that we have here at your college or in liberal arts programs in general.
Yeah, I think you hit on something really important here. It's really following your passion.
Mm-hmm.
For students to figure out, and it's not always easy for them, but if they sort of took time to think, what are they really passionate about? Mm-hmm. What do they like doing? What is it that kind of gets them out of bed in the
right.
morning?
Exactly.
Can't get out of bed.
Exactly.
And it's more important to go to a college and to get a degree in something you're passionate about, because mm-hmm. you're going to learn much, rather than going to a college, doing something, getting a degree you're not passionate about.
Right.
Because then you're just, you know, going through and getting by any way you can. And so it's really that passion. So maybe the key is for students who are interested, who have a passion for the liberal arts, mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. start talking to their parents about, this is what I really want to do.
And, absolutely.
And also, like you said, connect the way we can connect it to the outcomes.
Right. And connect with our faculty here as well, because they, a lot of our faculty have some really, as you do, have some really interesting stories about, how they get to the place that they are today. And they can connect the dots for students to ultimately see how that degree is going to lead to be able to fulfill those passions that they have.
Yeah. I think that's sort of key is following that passion,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And having, if you can, open conversations and honest conversations with your parents. I know that's not always easy.
No.
And for parents to really realize that it's the student's engagement in the college mm-hmm. experience mm-hmm. that is most important. And the fact that they're going to complete and get a bachelor's degree is what's really, really key, because then they'll go out and they'll get a job. And as you noted, we've known for years that the jobs that will be out there 5 years past graduation, mm-hmm. we haven't realized them yet.
Correct.
So, and what the student's going to have in 10 years, 20 years, 30, 50, we don't know that yet. Mm-hmm. So it's important to really instill in your students and your children that follow your passion and get those skills that allow them to pivot, that allow them to have a successful career.
So, absolutely agree.
So if you're an English major or a history major or like something like that, or an arts major, don't be afraid. There are work for you out there, and you'll have a great experience at college, especially here at York College.
So, I agree.
Yeah. Brian, thank you for doing these. These were really informative,
and
thank you for listening, and until next time.
Thank you so much.
This program is produced in the studios of WVYC-FM, the voice of York College, and produced by WVYC radio station manager Jeffrey Schiffman. Join Dean Barnes monthly for these ongoing conversations about essential skills in the liberal arts.